The word of God given to us today is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 to 12. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Amen. The book of Matthew chapter 25 contains three parables. One, the parable of the 10 virgins, who refers to those awaiting their grooms. And second, the parable of the bags of gold or talents. And third, the parable of the sheep and the goats. The most famous parable among these is arguably the parable of the bags of gold or talents. In fact, the parable of the talents is one of the most famous parable among other multiple ones that Jesus has told in the Bible. And the story goes like the following. A man going on a journey called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. In the ancient times, the nobles and the wealthy often entrusted their property or wealth to the servants or their tenant farmers. Then the entrustees would use the property as capital and would later return the principal and the interest back to the master and keep the remaining revenue for himself. In this parable, the master gave the three servants varying amounts of gold or talents. To one, he gave 5 bags of talents, to another, 2 bags, and to another, 1 bag, each according to their own ability. A single talent weighed approximately 34 kilograms. And that single talent was worth 6,000 denarii. A denarius was a day's worth of wage for a young man. Therefore, one talent was equivalent to 16 years of one salary if he had worked every day without resting on the weekends. If he did rest, then one talent was equivalent to about 20 years worth of one's salary. So 2 talents equal 40 years worth of salary, and 5 talents equal 100 years worth of salary. Indeed, the master entrusted his servants a vast amount of wealth and left. The man who had received 5 bags of talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags of talents more. Back then, a talent was used as a measure to weigh gold, but in the modern days, talent means one's own skills or capabilities. So the first servant used the 5 talents that he had been given and worked it to the fullest to bring back deliverables that others could not even fathom. And after receiving such talent, he didn't delay, procrastinate, or make excuses. He didn't try to show off, nor did he compare himself to how much others have received. He simply went and lived a life worthy of the talent that he had received. The second servant who received the 2 talents was no different from the servant who received the 5 talents and also went and worked with the gold. He also gave his best. So the only difference was in the output, where the second servant achieved only 2/5 or 40% of what the man with the 5 talents achieved. However, the man who received only 1 talent was different. He did not go and trade with it like the other 2 servants had done, but instead buried it in the ground. Whereas those who received 5 and 2 talents each set towards the path of the calling and the mission given by his master, obeying the master's will, the man who received only 1 talent turned his back on the master's will and follow the path of unbelief and his own desires. If one becomes separated from the master, just like this man who received one talent, they cannot carry out the master's will or live the life according to the master's will. In school, if you like the teacher who teaches a certain subject, you are more likely to do well in that class. But if you don't like the teacher, you're more likely to fail the class. Just as a student who is separated from his teacher finds it difficult to excel in the subject taught by that teacher, if we become separated from the Lord, it is impossible to live a life according to his will. Going back to the parable, simply receiving a talent was not the end of it. The master who left will inevitably return. Indeed, after a long time had passed, the master returned to settle accounts with the servants. And during that time, the servants were given ample time, but not perpetually. The master clearly had a set timeline in mind to settle accounts with his servants, no matter how much time has passed, and then he returned. God has granted us talents and gave us a lot of time to grow them and nurture them. However, such a time given to us is never eternal. There is a time when God will settle accounts with us. And even if the timing for each may be all different, that time will always come no matter what. So the servants came forward one by one. The one who had received five talents said, Matthew chapter 25, verse 20, the man who had received five bags of gold brought the other five. Master, he said, you entrusted me with five bags of gold. See, I have gained five more. So by this, the first servant meant, because of the five talents that you have granted me and entrusted me, I was able to gain five more. In other words, he attributed his additional gains of five more bags of talents entirely to his master's grace. And are we not the same? Should we not be the same? No matter how great our accomplishments are, we cannot help but confess from the bottom of our hearts that it was only by the Lord's grace that we were able to achieve them. If, upon achievement, one thinks, I did all this, who else could have done it? Then he or she cannot be deemed a faithful Christian. Furthermore, when the master came back to settle accounts with the servants, the first servant was able to stand there without fear because he had lived faithfully all along. The best way for a student to face an exam without fear is to study diligently and properly every day until the time of the exam. Likewise, the best way to prepare for the day that we stand before God is to live faithfully and to live according to the Word of God every single day. The master then said to the man who had earned five talents, Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will now put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." So the master called out to the servants, who brought back another five talents, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Now, it's easy to understand why the master described the servant as faithful. However, it is relatively more difficult to understand why he said good. The word good not only means good-hearted, but also means that something is great. In other words, this servant had a good heart that enabled him to fully accept the master's words. Furthermore, the master says that the servant earning additional 5 talents is one of a few things or a small thing. But as aforementioned, 5 talents equal a tremendous amount of money. But the reward of God is always infinitely more significant than the material things or gold. Looking back on our lives of faith, we confess that God's presence in and guidance of our lives are far more significant than the material things that He has given us. And to experience such grace is our greatest joy. Going back to the parable, the second servant who received 2 talents said the following, to which the master replied, Matthew chapter 25, verses 22 to 23. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and now I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The reaction of the man who received 2 talents and the master's response were identical to that of the servant who received 5 talents. The only difference here is the number from 5 bags to 2 bags of gold. The response of the master was the same because God weighs our deeds based on absolute or objective standards. No matter the output, whether it was 5 bags of gold or 2 bags of gold, both servants lived faithfully according to the master's words. However, the reaction of the third servant who received 1 talent was like the following, Matthew chapter 25, verses 24 to 25. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came, Master, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. The man who had received 5 and 2 talents each confessed that the master had entrusted them with the talents. However, this third man did not say that he had been entrusted with the talents. Instead, he referred to them as your gold and your belongings. Accordingly, when he hid the gold in the ground, it was not an act to cherish the gift that was entrusted by his master, but an act to merely bury it in lieu of the master. So when the master heard this, he became angry and said to him, Matthew chapter 25, verses 26 to 28. This is in NIV version. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have at least received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. Now one might think that it would be better if the master had instructed the servant with the 10 bags who received 5 and earned 5 more to give 1 more talent to the one who received 1 and left it as it is. Then the 3 servants would have each received 9, 4, and 2 bags of talents, making the settlement look more reasonable and fair. However, the master ordered to take away what belonged to the servant with 1 bag of talents and give it to the one who already owned 10 bags of talents. This principle should resonate in our faith as well. Those who live in faith and by faith will multiply their faith each day and every day, whereas those with little faith will bury their faith underground and only chase after the worldly values, eventually running out of faith or losing their given bags of faith at any given moment. The key takeaway from this parable of the talents is that the master apportioned the talents to his servants, to each according to his own abilities. This means that the master already knew his servants' capabilities well. God has created us all differently. We are different in appearances, personalities, and capabilities. We're not some mass-produced products in a factory. Each and every one of us are the handiworks of God. Even if Leonardo da Vinci were to paint 100 identical copies of the Mona Lisa, none of them would be 100% identical. Each piece would differ slightly in appearance, and then there would also be subtle differences in color. Similarly, even if Michelangelo sculpted 100 pieces of David's, no two sculptures would be 100% identical. Each piece would differ slightly in size and in shape. Furthermore, as an artist would have intended the pieces to be slightly different from one another, even if all the artworks share the same title. And if this is what a mere human artist can do, how grand would be the plans of God towards each and every one of us? Faith is about accepting the fact that God has given each person different talents and in varying degrees. One needs to accept this fact in earnest. Only then you can move on to live life in faith. Only after accepting this truth. Failure to accept this as the core essence of faith would lead to negative emotions such as envy, jealousy, and resentment. Think of how Salieri, in the film Amadeus, envied Mozart's, who seemed to be profane and vulgar, for possessing the musical talents that he himself has lacked. And we are nonetheless different. Another key takeaway in the parable of the talents is that because the master had apportioned the talents to each servant according to their own abilities, evaluation was also done to each his own. That is why, regardless of the amount of output, the praise and appraisal given to the servants who received 5 talents and earned 5 more, and the one who received 2 talents and earned 2 more, were the same, and did not differ in degree. On the other hand, the world always makes judgments based on relative evaluation, relentlessly measuring one thing against another. On the rare occasion that absolute standards are used for evaluation, that in and of itself becomes another form of relative evaluation, comparing oneself to others. Strictly speaking, as humans are limited in flesh and knowledge and are finite beings, we can never measure something based on absolute standards. But God can, because He is omnipotent. He always measures us based on absolute standards. Therefore, when we say that we live by faith and by wisdom, we do not mean that we become boastful or discouraged by comparing our talents to others, but to serve God as our only and absolute purpose. Today's scripture also testifies that the grace of God was apportioned. Verse 7 reads, "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." By natural flow of logic, it seems only appropriate that verses 11 to 12 follows right after verse 7. The verses read, verse 11 to 12, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up." Instead, we see that verses 8 to 10 are inserted in between, almost as an afterthought. Contextually, they seem much better left out. Nevertheless, these 3 verses seem to be included to clearly inform of who, or which entity, apportioned the gifts to each one of us. Verse 8 reads, This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. The words in this verse evoke an image of ancient warfare. Back then, when a king or general returned victorious from a battle, he would bring back the king or soldiers of the defeated nation bound in chains. It literally, the victor would quote-unquote capture the captives. Then these captives then became a spectacle for the jubilant crowd celebrating the victory of the war. And the king would then throw some of the spoils of war as gifts to the cheering crowd. So verse 8 portrays God gracing us with gifts, just like how a victorious general would give away the plunders from war to the cheering crowd. Here, the cheering crowd is us who are celebrating God's victory for winning the battle against the devil. Verses 9 to 10. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It's difficult to accurately interpret where, quote-unquote, the lower earthly regions mean. There are two mainstream interpretations. First interpretation is that the lower earthly region refers to the incarnation of Jesus, that is, the virgin birth. Psalm chapter 139, verses 13 to 15 reads, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth." So it is apparent that the depths of the earth in this verse means a mother's womb, singing of the mysterious works of God and his providence towards humanity. The emphasis here is that the one who had apportioned his grace according to our own ability has first descended down to the lowest place on this earth. And the expression depths of this earth also refers to a place that feels emotionally far away. I would like to cite a Korean classical poem, or siju, that I had learned in high school. The poem was written by Lee Hang-bok, a minister of the Mid-Joseon dynasty, when he was in exile. "Oh, the cloud that leisurely crosses the high peak of Cheolyong, if you could carry the lonely minister's tears of resentment as rain and sprinkle it in the palace deep inside where my lord resides, how would that be?" The expression, "the lonely minister's tears of resentment," is a translation of the Chinese characters 고신 원루, describing the tears of a servant who was unloved by his king. And the expression, "the palace deep inside," is a translation of the Chinese characters 구중심처 or 구중궁궐, referring to the innermost area of the palace where the king resides. A literal translation of these Chinese characters means "a palace deep inside with nine gates." But this doesn't mean that the palace was literally underground or buried under. It is merely an expression of sadness, indicating that the king was so far away. The second interpretation of the lowly regions means hell. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 to 19. "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits." When Jesus died on the cross, his physical body was put to death, but his spirit made a proclamation to the imprisoned spirits. This means that the one who apportioned grace upon us has proclaimed that he is the Christ, even in the depths of hell. as can be seen, verses 8 to 10 of today's scripture expounds on and testifies that the one who has bestowed grace upon us, that is, Jesus Christ, reigns over the whole universe. Allow me to read verse 7 again. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. So back in the ancient times, the victorious kings and generals would throw away the spoils of the war to those who welcomed them as they pleased. This was because the spoils were not theirs to begin with, and throwing them away was a way to signal the victory of the war and to boast of their victory. However, the gifts that God has bestowed upon us have been apportioned according to His decision and to each of our own abilities. He appointed some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and still some to be pastors and teachers. And through the ministries of each and every man, God made the congregation whole to equip His people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Therefore, the scope and depth of our talents, characteristic traits, our capabilities, and experiences are all the result of the grace of God that has been apportioned according to our own capabilities and our own measures. In the aforementioned parable of the talents, the master did not say, "Oh, you are truly capable," or "You are exceptionally capable," to the servant who received 5 and 2 talents each. Instead, he said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You don't say that one is faithful when they bring back more than what was expected or when they accomplish something very grand. This is said when one obeys the exact words of his master. To the servant who received 1 talent, the master did not say, "Oh, you are truly incompetent," or "Even a snail can roll around. How are you so incapable?" Instead, he said, "You wicked and lazy servant." You don't say that one is lazy when they bring back less than what was expected or when they fail to accomplish something grand. You say this when the servant did not obey the exact words of his master. God does not want us to possess more or occupy higher positions. Rather, He wants us to be faithful. Of course, during the course of living a faithful life, one may be granted with the gifts to own more and assume higher positions. From the optics, being rewarded with more things and sitting in a higher position as a result of one faithfully obeying the word of God, and having more and sitting in a high chair as a result of actively pursuing such values may appear the same. However, the level of faith in each scenario is by no means the same. The only way to lead a life of faith is to live out the Word of God with all our hearts, all our strengths, and all our minds. Last Friday, August 15th, marked the 80th anniversary of Korea's liberation, and this year also marks the 80th anniversary of the end of World War II. World War II began in earnest in September 1939 with Germany's invasion of Poland and Britain and France's declaration of war against Germany. And following the dropping of atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in August 1945, the war ended on August 15th upon Japan's surrender. And on the 15th, Japanese Prime Minister Shigeru Ishiba issued a statement commemorating the 80th anniversary of the end of World War II. Excerpts from his speech reads, 80 years have passed since the war. The majority of generations now know nothing about this war. We will never repeat the horrors of the war again. We will never again stray from the path that is right. We must once again deeply engrave the reflections and lessons of the war of the past in our hearts. In a world still rife with conflict, we should look towards eliminating division, promoting tolerance, and pioneering a better future for the present and future generations. I do and sincerely hope that these words are truly sincere and hold truth. Every year on Liberation Day, I am always reminded of the following fact. If the leaders and constituents of our nation do not consider the direction of where the nation should go towards and how to live properly in the face of changing international orders, but only live according to the worldly values and pursue their own desires, then such a nation could collapse and lose its sovereignty. And the future generations of the nation will suffer for eternity if such a disaster happens. And this is what we learned from the past 100 years of our history. So let us truly accept the grace and gifts that we have been apportioned with by God, to run to take hold of that for which God has taken hold of us wherever we are planted in our lives. Let us obey the words of God and give all our hearts to live a life that fulfills and obeys the words. There is no life more liberated than keeping and obeying God's such words. For God's word is the light and the truth which will set us free. Let us pray. Dear Father God, may we accept the fact that just as a master distributed the talents to each of his servants according to their abilities, God has also given us different types and degrees of talents. May we not complain that the talents apportioned to us isn't to my liking, nor resent how small the amount of talent given to us is. May we also not boast about our talents or become despaired by comparing the amount of our talents to those of others. May we truly remember that the talents given to us by God is apportioned based on our each and own abilities. May we also not forget that you have given us these different levels of talents and that you will also evaluate us accordingly in different measures. Regardless of how many talents we have received, may we live faithfully according to your own words, so that we may receive the same praise as a man who had received 5 talents and 2 talents each. We specifically give thanks for allowing us to celebrate the 80th anniversary of liberation and the 80th anniversary of the end of the Korean War. May our country never again suffer the absurdity of being invaded by another country or suffer the loss of our nation's sovereignty. May our nation also not be swayed by the logic of the law of the survival of the fittest, harming other weak nations or trampling on their sovereignty. May our Republic of Korea become one big vessel of God, serving Asia and furthermore humanity as a whole. We pray that not only will we each press forward to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of us, but also to fulfill God's words with all our hearts in our daily lives. May every day become a liberation day for us, a day of walking with the Lord. And may we enjoy the true freedom and peace that he gives us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.